Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Comic Book Nation, the only show that does it all for geek culture and the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today is one of my comic book gaming and just comic book loving co-workers, Mr. Logan Moore, host of our Quick Save gaming segment. And we are here to break down Invincible Season 2, Episode 6, which is titled It's Not That Simple. And it certainly is not. Logan, thanks for hopping on with me again. It's great to be back. You did all of Invincible Season 2 Part 1.
Yeah.
But you were under the weather last week, so we had to cover the return of Invincible without you. But here you are. You're back for Episode 6. So let's just give you the floor on just the general Invincible Season 2 Part 2 of it all so far. How are you feeling about this second half? Because you are an avid fan of the comics.
Yeah, so I decided to do the reverse this time around for the purposes of us recording these shows every week. And I just decided I'm going to watch the episodes every week, like right before we record. So it's kind of, rather than watching it as one chunk, because I know that's what we did with the previous first half of the season and everything kind of started to blur together for me. So I've only watched the first two episodes here. And I mean, I love it. I think both of these episodes kind of mirror each other in different ways. Like the first episode, kind of there's a lot of exposition and build up towards the front, and then there's a lot of action at the end. And then the second episode here, the one we're going to talk about today, a lot of action up front followed by a lot of like more like interpersonal stuff that happens throughout the back half of the episode that then sets up a lot of stuff that's going to come to fruition in the final two episodes of this season. I have enjoyed it a lot. I like that, again, the same things that I liked about the first half of the season. Like they're setting up new stories, they're setting up new characters. Again, we've still got Angstrom toying around in the background, and it feels like that's finally going to come to a head here in the final two episodes of the season. But then you've got your sort of, you know, monster of the week, to call it, like, and this time around it's the Sequids, or it was the villain of the first two episodes here. And so we've got, this is the new major threat, but there's other threats looming, and you've got the everything with the Lizard League. It's just the way that this show and the comics too, like, integrates so many different storylines at once and always has the next plot line ready to go. Like there's still so much happening in this show that like, it's becoming apparent that I know you've watched the full second season, if I'm correct, but like they've set so much stuff up that it's obviously it's not all of it is going to come to some sort of resolution before the end of this season. But I just like the the various plot lines, whether it be with the Viltrumites, or they've got this stuff up here that they've set up with Mars, or they've got Engstrom that they've set up. And it's just all these things are happening at once. You're like, how is this all going? When's this going to come into play? And, you know, and this time around, and then with these first two episodes of this second half, it just happened to be like the Lizard League is finally coming back into play after they set that up four or five episodes ago. So, yeah, I really like how this show continues to be structured in that manner.
While I agree with you in the sense that, yes, this show does pay things off, it brings things back around and kind of then can surprise us about how things come back into play. At the same time, I did title this one, "Is This Getting Too Kind of Complicated?" Because there are so many moving pieces, and this is very much a moving piece episode of Invincible. And I feel like in certain ways, it's hard, even especially with this break that we had, for people to keep this all in mind if they are just kind of casual fans viewing it. Like, there is so much to just kind of recall in this episode alone. But we start off absolutely with the kind of momentum of where we left things with the Lizard League. And what I do love about Invincible is we have this cliffhanger with Rex, and it's like, oh, the gun's at his head. Will he get out of this cliffhanger? And then we come right back and it's like, no, he will not. Like, and he gets just his brains half blown out all across the floor. But, you know, after this initial kind of action sequence, double action sequence with them versus the Lizard League and the other the Guardians fighting the Sequids, you know, the rest of this episode is very much, again, shifts from Invincible action mode to moving pieces mode. And just getting Mark back on Earth again after this mission is like several key scenes worth of stuff of development that it takes. It's him and the Pentagon looking at Rex getting operated on, you know, having this kind of weird moment where he takes off his mask and begins to realize how bad this hero thing can go. And then it just splices that scene into him meeting with Amber and, you know, running into her arms, which we then just splice from that back into him getting back home and seeing his mother and brother and dealing with all that. And that all takes place as somebody who's writing these recaps within like a minute. And there's so much that this show can pack into just even a minute that it feels like there are so many other things. I mean, this episode alone, we got to weigh what Mark's going through, what Alan the Alien's mission is, and like kind of what that whole thing is there, what the Immortal is going through, what Donald is going through, what even characters like William and Rick are going through as yeah. Rick comes back into the picture. And we're all supposed to remember like who this kid who got mangled by cyborgs was. And so I think it's a double-edged sword, because what makes this series so good, which is the richness of it, the depth of it, and how much it is an entire world, I think can be really hard for a lot of mainstream viewers who still are on the level of, oh, this is supposed to be, at some level, it's supposed to be a cartoon. And even though it's a mature cartoon, this is like, we're getting a whole Game of Thrones out of this, rather than your typical superhero kind of saga. So I'm just curious, because I mean, we do this in a bubble of getting to see these and doing these recaps, but I'm kind of really curious to see how the larger fandom is going to react to this episode. And I think the next episode in particular.
Yeah. I think that just the sheer number of characters, and like you said, the plot lines and different things that are going on, like that's always the thing that impressed me the most about like the Invincible comics too, because up front, a lot of it is just pitched as like, these are generic superheroes. Like, this is your generic Justice League. This is your generic, you know, Superman type of character or whatever. And it's like, the further you get into this, the more you find out like, oh, all these characters have like very deep backstories and very like complicated, like plot lines all their own that are like the D plot away from whatever's happening, you know, with it, Mark or Omni-Man or Adam Eve or anything like that. And I think those, like everything with the Immortal in this episode, I think is really handled well. I like how they've set up everything with him and Duplicate over the course of this season. So yeah, I totally agree. I think, but it is a lot. I'm curious, like if it's harder to, cause it's been so long since I've read the comics, and I do wonder if like it's hard to like juggle all of this in a television show format compared to a comic book, because I feel like comics are a little bit easier to digest and I'm not understanding what's happening in the show, you know, but like it just feels a little bit more cohesive, I guess, in a comic book format rather than a TV show. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think that whole difference, this is the kind of thing where literature in whatever form has the capability of just helping us kind of contain the amount that we need to kind of remember. There's more room for some weird reason for, you know, anything on the page to let us explore these different things, move around, and keep this all in mind as a rich comic book universe. But it is harder, I think, for a lot of people. And I think it's just the format, right? Like, if this was like something like The Boys in a live action, people seem more willing to open up and absorb all that information rather than the simplicity of being a cartoon. But I will say, like, while I'm wondering about, you know, the mainstream reaction to this, it's still, for me, as like a longtime comic book fan, as a superhero fan, it is so refreshing to get this kind of spin and see what Invincible can do with this lore and like the size of a universe, because it is very unexpected, right? Even when we get this whole battle in this episode, we get the return of the Sekhoids and find out that poor Russ Livingston is still infected, and now the Sekhoids are on Earth. We get a visit from Angstrom Levy. The last 10 minutes of this episode are nuts. Just, you know, everything they figure out about Nolan's literature and the reality of it, to finding Nolan again in this Viltrumite prison, to, you know, also figuring out that Angstrom Levy is finally coming back into the picture. And if you see his little walk through dimensions, what the ominous kind of setup of that is in all of that. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it personally. Like, I kind of love
the Walking Dead there at the end when he goes through the zombie universe?
Oh, yeah. If you look at that, our recap, I snapped that pick. It's like a split second, but yeah, it's in there that he walks through a zombie universe. There's like a weird jungle universe and some other, I think one or two other things.
Like a snowy mountain or something like that. Like,
yeah, snowy mountain universe. Like, yeah. And so it's just nuts how many threats there are in this show at once, and kind of the setup with this little stinger is like, after all this development, we got action, a bunch of development, and then they give us everything they know we want. It's like, oh, there's Nolan, he's back. Oh, there's Angstrom Levy again. He's finally returned. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to get into episode 7. So the show is doing its job in kind of making us stay on the hook, even when it's bringing us through some of the heavier parts. And it's also proven that, man, you really cannot expect people to be dead in this show the same way. Like, there's a lot of people who we thought were dead who suddenly survive. Alan's back and still alive. Mm-hmm. Rex survives getting his brains blown out. Shrinking Ray survives being crushed internally inside of a Komodo dragon's body. So, you know,
when you said
shout
in the
out
first
to these
half
heroes for being durable.
When you said in the first half of the season, like, oh, I can't believe they killed off Alan, I was like, oh, you don't. No, like, I'm pretty sure something along those lines that is just like a constant throughout the series, that like, this guy died, and then all of a sudden, nope, they're not dead at all, actually. And it's not just tied to Alan. It's a bunch of different characters that happens to. But when people do have deaths, they are very major send-offs as a result, because they don't want to keep toying around with people in that regard. So, but yes, Alan coming back and being far more jacked is fun. I think I enjoy that element of it. So,
yeah. So, I mean, all in all, if you had to kind of, I think we should probably rate these episodes at the end and just kind of give people a sense of where we're at. So out of 10, where would you score this one?
I mean, I would say this is an 8. I think like the character work here is good. A lot of stuff that they hit, a lot of the arcs that they've been building to for quite some time. Like, I feel like Debbie's arc has kind of been building to a point where she's finding, you can tell she's finding like newfound purpose here with caring for Oliver, which is now the name of Mark's brother. And you can tell, and not only that, but like, the Amber and Mark relationship, it feels like it's been building towards them kind of pulling away from one another for quite some time. And I feel like the way that they've handled that has been done well here. And you know that it's going to just get worse.
I think one of the main things that we're going to see, because there wasn't a greatest reaction to Mark and Amber's relationship in season one. People are definitely not loving it. So I'm kind of interested to see where the ship train goes with this whole thing, because there were some hints in this episode from just like when Mark thrashes a bunch of Martians and how kind of Eve reacts to him and how there's this little, you know, innuendo about when he goes to see Rex and comes out and tells, Eve finds out from Rex offhandedly that Mark and Amber are having problems. I don't know where the ship train is going, but I know it's pulling out of the station and headed somewhere. And I'm both excited and terrified to see how the Invincible fandom kind of reacts with all this, because track record hasn't been that great online. So here we go. But I think I would rate this episode a good solid 7.5 for me. I think that I like Invincible, but I do acknowledge sometimes the more slower piece moving episodes can be a bit slow. There was a lot of college teen angst drama in this, that major scene, which I thought was well done with Art and Mark having a conversation while Eve and Amber having a conversation and it spliced together as if Mark and Amber should be, you know, talking, saying all these things to each other, and all that was kind of well done. But I think a lot of people might fall off when those kinds of things also happen. So I'm going to go with a solid 7.5. I don't think the show ever really misses, but I think it can be slower at times. All right. Feel like we've probably done a thing. I know we've had some technical difficulties on this one. I apologize for that in advance. You never know. We're doing live shows, so this is how it goes sometimes. But I want to thank Logan Moore for coming on with me and talking about Invincible Season 2, Episode 6. It's not that simple. Based on where this episode ends, I think we can all say we're really eager to get back and talk about these final two episodes of Season 2 that are coming our way. So be sure to subscribe to Comic Book Nation and make sure you are on our feeds, because we cover all things geek culture. In addition to do kind of select TV recaps for shows like Invincible, and we just finished Halo Season 2 and had some great interviews with the cast. We also do a regular gaming segment every week called Quick Save, which Logan is the host of, where we talk about all the big things in gaming culture of the week. We also do our regular live show every Friday, where we cover all things geek culture and are kind of the hub of this whole Comic Book Nation universe. If you're an anime fan, our Anime Initiative segment is getting red hot and people are loving that. So check out every week on Tuesdays, where Megan Peters and the Comic Book Anime team break down the latest in anime news. And my good buddy Matthew Aguilar, my co-host, also is in charge of the pull list every Wednesday, where we review the biggest thing in comics. All you Marvel MCU heads, go over to the Phase Zero feed and listen to that comic book podcast focused on the MCU. And if you want to catch Pokemon, the Wild Pokemon Has Appeared podcast feed is there to help you as well. All right, that'll do it for me. Logan, thanks again, man, for hopping on and talking Invincible, your knowledge of the comics, and, you know, laughing at us because we have no idea where we're headed with this crazy twisty-turny show is always appreciated. I will catch you guys next time. This is Comic Book Nation. Peace.